This is March 12, 2006. I'm going to be reading on gluttony. See, here's the thing I wanted to say about that. I'm going to write a thing on gluttony, too, because none of these guys are 100%. Some of them go too far to the right, and some go too far to the left. Some go somewhere in the middle, and it leaves a lot of people confused. And I can tell you, I'll show you one thing where we were talking about it last week. Misinterpretations can mess people up very bad, and they're not going to understand, and they're going to feel guilty, and they're not going to know what they should eat and what they shouldn't eat. Well, let's take the distinction of feast days and fast days. Now, we know when we're fasting on one meal a day, it does sustain us. We're not going to die. You know, so, and you can probably even eat less than we're eating, and you're not going to die. So the problem I have with a lot of these people, when feast days come along, they say, you're never allowed to eat for pleasure. I got a problem with that. And the problem I have with that is, technically speaking, on a feast day, we're not fasting. Of course I don't need three meals a day, so I'm not really eating to sustain myself. Well, that's what a feast is about.
Right.
So some of that eating is evolving pleasure. You know, strictly pleasure.
Right.
So in other words, the person's going to be saying, well, I really don't need to eat this. And then you're going to people's going to go crazy in their conscience. But what is a feast?
Yeah.
But to eat more than you normally do during the fast day and to enjoy yourself. A feast is to enjoy yourself.
Right.
Eat the food and enjoy it. Mm-hmm. The real thing of gluttony is eating too much, where you become fat and you become glutted and eating outside of the normal times that even you would feast on.
Yeah.
Of course, the Romans are the extreme example of gluttony. They would eat till they would just throw up and go back and keep eating again.
Right.
That's gluttony in its highest thing.
Yeah.
But gluttony is also if you eat too much and purposely and your belly gets bloated, okay, you know you've eaten too much.
Yeah, right.
But to enjoy food for pleasure in the feast day is not sinful. For me, I always say to God, thank you, Lord, for this good food and the taste buds thou hast given me to taste it. Food is not evil, or that's puritanistical. And if you say you can't control the good food, well, that's not, it's the problem ain't with food or alcohol. It's with your ability not to moderate yourself. So, and the idea of gluttony, one thing I would tell the people, when you're wearing a pants or something, wear it kind of, not tight, but a regular type of, so that when it starts to get tight around the belt, they'll tell you this, if you eat slow, when your waist around, if it starts to get a little too tight, you're already eating too much. Stop, you know? So, feast day, the point is when they say you can never, anytime you're eating just for pleasure, you're committing sin. What's the difference between a feast day and a fast day? I got a big problem with that. I can sustain myself forever on fast days. And some of the monks were so obstinate about this that during the feast days, they wouldn't feast. And popes had to say, no, it's a feast. You're going to turn into a Pharisee. I don't want this. You now have to eat more than you do during the fast day. Even in the rule of St. Benedict, let's take his rule. During the feasting, regular, not even feasting, let's say, just ordinary days, they would eat at 11 o'clock and 3 o'clock. They got two meals. Then during fasting days, they'd only eat at one time. All right. So now, those monks really, when it's not fasting, they were eating an extra meal. They really didn't need to eat, so they're sinning. No, they're not. You see, so you got to watch out. People are going to scratch your head and go, well, what's going on here, you know? I mean, there's a level in which you can eat to sustain yourself barely, and then there's a feast day, which means you really are eating a little more than you really even need to sustain yourself, but you're still not eating too much. My idea would be to get a good chart for your bone and your body build and find out what, even according to medical profession, and get a good chart and what doctors will even tell you is good for your health. And look at what your weight should be for your bone structure, also, and for your height. It's not just your height, it's your bone structure. And find out what is a good weight for you and stay at it. And so, when you're feasting, you can shift, you know. Let's say your weight span is between 10 pounds plus or minus. That's fine. We're not saying you guys, because when you're feasting, you are going to gain more weight.
Right.
So we're talking don't go above that weight.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say for my case, it might be 170 pounds or 175 pounds, whatever it is. When I'm fasting, I might go down to 165. When I'm back eating again, I can go back up to 175. So there's the idea of not, you don't want to make people here feel guilty that you're not supposed to enjoy food at all. And give thanks to God that you enjoy it, you know. But don't intimidate on one side that it's sinful and then the other side that it's not sinful. No need to overstate the case. There is a danger of a person who's used to eating fine foods. He's always got to have the best. The best steaks. I mean, how we might eat a steak here once a year or twice a year, we'll have a steak here. That's about it. Maybe not even that. Now, I'm not saying people can't have steaks if they have the money or they want to have steaks. They can have it, and it's not sinful. But the point is, if you start getting used to steak so much that you come to visit people who eat common food and you spurn common food, you're already into gluttony.
Yeah.
A type of gluttony that says, I will only eat these extremely pleasurable foods because I got spoiled. So this is another sin of gluttony, is being spoiled with pleasurable foods that are of the best quality so that you can't eat nothing less than that. Like you hear a lot of people say, I'll never eat beans like the poor people. Well, beans happens to be one of the most healthy things you can do. It's even better than you people that are eating these unhealthy things, you know. Or then you got beans, you got peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, which we eat a lot. People, that's poor people food. So what? It's good. Yeah. You take a look what's in peanut butter, even nutritionally it's good. Yeah. So what's the deal? There's gluttony too. The person, now the rich man, he is allowed to have better things. There's nothing wrong with that. He could. He's rich. Because then you're going to have class warfare. The poor is covetous of the rich, and the rich is looking down upon the poor. This is not the Catholic way. And it's not the Catholic way for the poor person to despise the rich man who has steak every day. So what? Yeah. God bless him if he moderates it. Yeah. At least I know someone's enjoying steak, and I hope he's not, you know, eating it too much so he doesn't become used to it. But so what? You know? And this is what causes class warfare and all this stuff. The whole point is moderating your pleasures so that you don't become addicted to them. But I see what they do. They go in and they buy the best liquors. They buy the best wines. They buy the best. Now, if you have the money to do it, fine. But we don't have the money to do those things. And I don't. And I can see how you could get. It could happen where if you start eating a lot of those good things, you go, I don't want to go back to the generic brand name or this. Boy, this one's so much better, you know. But there's a lot of common foods God gives us that are good. Cheeses from cows and animals that poor people can have. They're good. It's healthy. It's good for you. But even at that. All together, all this, even food in general, God is saying, don't even put that above the faith. Mm-hmm. So that if you have to compromise the faith to eat, or if you're going to keep the faith, you can't eat no food at all, then starve me to death. Lock me up and starve me and I'll die with no food then. Yeah. Put me on bread and water. See, Paul even said that. He said, nothing is going to take me away from the faith as long as I pray and stay faithful to God and I have that will. He says, whether I'm in prosperity, visiting a rich person for a couple months and I'm eating richer foods, he still wasn't a glutton. He was still loving and serving God. And God's grace was just there. It's just as much as it was with him. He says, when I have nothing. When I'm in the cell and I got bread and water. Praise God then, I'm eating bread and water. He could do both. And the fact that he could do both proved that food wasn't his God. He was able to control himself. Moderate it when he needed. Eat the common food that's in front of you. Eat the good food when it's in front of you. Don't feel guilty when you're enjoying food during the feast day because that's what it's about. But and don't think that you always have to be eating just to sustain yourself, or then you're going to be guilty and wondering, well, what point do I come to sustain myself and not sustain myself? And it's not logical when you compare fasting days to feasting days. All the Benedictines, according to Benedict's rule, would have been gluttons, according to that rule. Because during the fasting season, they only had one meal at 3 o'clock. So now comes the ordinary times, and Benedict says you can have another one at 11. Well, that's not necessary. That's gluttony, according to some Jansenistic Pharisaical people. No, that's not gluttony. It's not a fasting season. It's an ordinary time. They can eat more than normal. They can eat a little more than they usually do. But in all this, you can even look at pagans who have some sense of, not all pagans out there are so bad that they're fatted pigs, but most of them are in one way or another. And I'm just talking food-wise now, but other ways they are. But some people on the natural plane even know to keep their weight down.
Yeah, right.
Now, my father being a doctor, his big thing, what he said to me all the time, he said, Rich, most of the illnesses that people have today are because they're overweight. They don't need a doctor and they don't need pills. If they lose weight and put themselves back to a normal weight, because it causes all kinds of illnesses. So this idea of gluttony, not only does it destroy your, which is the most important part, it destroys your spiritual well-being with God, but one proof of that is too, because it destroys your own health too and drags you down. Your high blood pressure, fatty things, your heart gets messed up. It's not that a skinny guy can't get sick neither. But when you know you're doing something that you can prevent, it's a sin against the fifth commandment. You're murdering yourself. The doctor comes in and says, if you just lose 10 more pounds or 15 more pounds, I can take you off the blood pressure medication for life. But if you keep gaining weight, you're going to get to that point where they have a type of blood pressure you can never reverse it. Diabetes. There's a certain diabetes that can be controlled by weight and you don't got to take insulin or medicine. Diet and weight. So, even common men with the law upon their heart know that gluttony is evil. Gluttony is one of those evil sins that all men have on their heart. So even a pagan, when he overeats, he's committing a mortal sin. If it's to the point of really overeating, that's gluttony. So, I mean, you can have people that can, when they're feasting, and you can see some people who are very rich are not gluttonous. And as you see, they'll put a plate before them of good food, very excellent tasting food, but they moderate it. And they're thin. They're not heavy. They don't go around eating all the time. Let's say you're feasting. You say it's a feast season. We're going to have three meals. We're going to have the one main meal and other moderate meals so we can have a nice main meal. But if you're eating three big meals on a feast day, you're going to get fat. You can't even deal with it. It's too much. You know? But the idea that you have all that going on a regular day, let's say for people, let's say their regular schedule, where they are moderating, so, but then they're going out to stores, like their kids are buying Snicker bars, and they're buying potato chip bags, and they're eating stuff, and they're buying big these Cokes like this, and they're all between, you know, what are you eating now? Is it dinner time or what? Well, no, I'm not going to be eating about an hour. What are you doing here? Can't you wait? That's gluttony. The church used to call a snack a collation. That's what they call it. It's legitimate. Collation is a very short, small amount of food you can have before, even in Lenten season, for some of the monks, they would have that at night before they go to bed. They can have a very light collation, they would call it. And that's what they call not a full meal, really. It's a snack. It's not a full meal. They call it a collation. Okay? And it's almost, it substitutes for a meal. So really, what I call a snack, that would be what other people would call a meal. And they would make it a big meal. But the big thing, I think the main thing people have to be concerned of, during the church-imposed fasts, you better keep those or you're in mortal sin. Period. Yeah. One meal a day. You eat any food outside that meal, you're in mortal sin. You committed it. I don't care who you are. Unless you have a physical problem, a legitimate physical problem in dispensation, then you can eat more than one meal. That is mandatory. But outside of that, in a regular, ordinary day or feasting day, if you should, you're a hard worker, you're a man that works out there, you determine, I want my family to have three square meals, two of them not really big, but one the main meal, fine. But just make sure that your family's not getting fat. Yeah. You know, that they're not expanding. You know, come up to a certain point in which, because we know the Orientals, before they came to the United States, most of them at least, you had some little sumo guys that were fat, but most of them were skinny.
Yeah.
Really, they are. Yeah. Take a look at, even there's a lot of Spanish where when they were in the mountains, bring them into the United States, and bango, they start blowing up like balloons. Now, you can't say that's, all these scientists try to say it's genetic. Now, some people, it's not genetics, okay? Now, it's not that there can't be a difference in weight, so we got to be careful with that. Some people can be heavier than others. That's true, because they have a bigger bone structure, and they're taller. So we're talking about, you have to look at what your bone structure is, what your height is, and what a good weight is for you. And really get yourself down to that weight and keep it there. Because this is how you're going to determine. So gluttony, we're talking about three things. Getting fat, fatter than you should be, which is going to hurt your health. Loving good foods so much that you become addicted to them. And that common food is beneath you. And that you love it so much that you would deny your faith or anything for it. It's just become something like an addiction, like a drug. So even a lot of these rich people would even now and then go off, if they were good Catholics, and eat common food during Lent and other periods of time, so they would not get so used to eating such rich foods. But as long as they're eating rich foods in moderation, they're not sinning either. But the point is, don't begin to love that more, and don't say that you love it so much that I can't sit down and eat a bowl of beans or a plate of spaghetti or a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Because you have people like that. And that's rich people despising poor people in common food. That's an abomination in the eyes of God. You know, there's people come in and say, I can't live like you. Oh, this is disgusting. I got to eat beans and I got to eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And they can't suffer to eat a peanut butter jelly sandwich for breakfast for more than 1 or 2 days or a bowl of beans and they're out of here. Yeah. I got to get back and I got to have my filet mignons and my fresh shrimps and my whatever these rich people have the money for. Now, there's a person who's a glutton. Absolute glutton. Where food has become their God and it caused them to despise poor people. God hates that. And poor people are also sinful if they despise rich people for having good things. So it's the idea of not becoming addicted to any one type of food so that you become so dependent upon it that it's everything to you and you despise the other type of food. You know, and not overeating and not eating between meals. So there's really a few simple basic rules there. If you don't learn to curb your appetite and fast, you'll never be a saint. And that is true. But to how far you got to go? Not everybody can go out and do a 40-day fast, for instance, like Elias or Moses. Unless God tells you, you'll die. Now, other saints, like monks that are called out there to do those kind of things, fine. That's the extra 10 yards for that guy. And that guy will become a saint as long as he has a faith, too, and doesn't become prideful. It will grant him a lot of graces. But like even St. Augustine was not called to that type of fasting. Although he fasted, but it wasn't that way. But he's a saint because his job... His main task, his struggling, was writing or doing the writing. So everybody has a different calling in which they will go more extreme.
Right.
But that's a choice. That's a voluntary choice. If you keep the rules and don't become gluttonous, God will be with you when you don't have food, and the devil and his angels on earth are going to try to use food against us. You know? And the big thing, and when you watch the movie of Moses, look what God was doing to them even. He was first training them, and Moses says, we have to serve more than our bellies. The kingdom of God is more than food. It's more than our bellies, because they got sick of the common food than the manna they're eating in the desert, wanted to go back to the flesh pots in Egypt. We got to be very careful ourselves when those days come when we may only just have bread and water and all that. Praise God for it, because you will see a lot of people, even us, being tempted to want to fall out and start bickering and complaining when it starts getting really rough like that. But if we do good now, and we handle the church rules on gluttony and the situation we're in now, God will be with us then. And so the whole idea is not to put food over God. That's all it is. The real glutton, too, everything in his life is food. He's thinking about where he's going to get it, how he's going to cook it, what's he going to cook next, what's he going to do next. This, that, everything is food. They talk about food. They say everything is food. They sit around the table and eat for hours. Now, on a feast day, yes. Yes, I'm not saying that. But it's not that you're eating. You can sit there and socialize around the table, so there's nothing wrong with it. But if you ever see some of these real banquet type things, they keep throwing plates in front of you one after the other. You go, when is this thing going to stop, man? Even a normal person who hasn't been eating like that, that hasn't been gluttonous and gets thrown into a situation like this, you can start getting sick. I can't eat no more. Give me a break. Let me take it easy. But there is this idea, and the idea in Lent, when you are supposed to go further, you are supposed to push yourself, you are supposed to eat less. You are supposed to not put the emphasis on food. Eating that one meal a day takes very little bit of time. But the idea, when a feast comes too, don't feel guilty when you're eating more meals, because it is a feast. And don't feel guilty because you're eating and pleasurable in what you're eating, because you like to eat certain things. That's not a sin either. The sin is when you're eating too much, so that you're beginning to gain. You can tell when you're beginning to gain weight, you feel uncomfortable. And when you're loving good foods so much that you're not able to bear with common food at all. When I was out in the world, the way people are, we can't understand why people are afraid to come here, because it's so peaceful and joyful when you do follow God's laws. And we're at comfort and peace. Most people despise this type of life. They're gluttons. They're gluttons for luxury. They're gluttons for food. They're gluttons for luxury even, because they can't live like this. They have to have all the modern amenities, all the modern luxuries. So even the great popes had the dignity that they had. They had to be in the palace, in the rich place, and they had to put on the rich robes. A lot of them would have little rooms where they would go and sleep that were very modest. They were very modest. So they didn't become spoiled by that atmosphere. So the rich person has to be careful in all things not to become so addicted to luxury that he can't sleep every now and then on a hard bed or in a place that's not that doesn't have all the best, you know. We caught it the other time when he's talking about the roasted flesh, even, because they like to roast. Well, God told them to eat roast. That you missed the whole point. No, they were getting all the things because they were pigs. They were taking the food even when they didn't need it. They were hoarding it, you know, and they were overeating and they were committing fornication. And they did take the roasted flesh when they're supposed to take the boiled. That would be like saying, today we're going to steam cook. Boil our chicken. We're not going to barbecue it. No! I got to have it barbecued, or I'm not going to eat it. Yeah. There you go, glutton. Yeah. Now you committed a big sin. Yeah. Big, big Wallapalooza sin. You know, it's not that you can't have barbecue chicken, but you're not going to have it all the time. Yeah. Now we're boiling it, or now we're having it this way. The person who's really addicted to such good things, he can't suffer to have something like that.
Yeah.
You know, he wants to always have the best at all times. I just want to bring up another point on this, which our brother Aristeo wrote about the Canaan feast. He's got a real good point there. That was a tremendous feast. They were eating. Well, the point I want to bring up about that is this. Okay, Ecclesiasticus 31:35.
Right.
Wine was created from the beginning to make men joyful, not to make them drunk. So we all know God, Jesus Christ, allows wine. He drinks it himself.
That's right.
See, Paul says drink wine.
Right.
I ask you one question. Is wine necessary? I mean, I don't have to drink wine. It's not going to kill me. I'm not going to die if I don't have wine.
Right.
Is wine pleasurable? Yes, that's why they drink it. Does it make men warm and a little comfortable? Yes. It's not necessary. So according to these Jansenistic people, that is a sin. Because I don't need to drink it, you see? Just the mere fact that I'm drinking wine is evil.
Yeah.
If you take the Jansenistic point of view. And not only did they drink it, they were filling up pitchers of wine.
Yeah, right.
You can say, hey, Jesus, they don't need to be eating all this. Or like Judas, hey, enough of that, give it to the poor, this kind of an attitude. What are you talking about here? We feast and we fast. We're not Puritans. And we have to be very careful of Jansenists who sneak into the church and try to make you believe that all these things are evil and aren't. And it kills the joy that God wants you to have when he's telling you this is now a feasting time. So this refutes what he's saying right in here. You can say, well, basically I can live on bread and water. Yeah, I don't need wine. Jesus didn't need wine, but he drank it. So was he a glutton? Were they gluttons at the miracle of Canaan? Is St. Paul a glutton? Oh, but don't kid yourself about some of these people we're going to have to deal with, but they're not going to stay in here long unless they straighten their ways out. I know who they are. And they believe all drinking is evil, like Puritans. So then you don't come in here. I said, because that's not the problem. The problem is not alcohol, it's moderation. We don't support alcoholics in here no more than you do. I can't. Alcoholism is a great evil. I know that. But that doesn't say that wine's bad. It's because the person can't moderate himself. It's not the wine that's evil. You may as well stop eating altogether then and say food is evil. So you got to knock out both types of people. You got to get the liberal on the left and the Jansenist on the right. We got to watch out that none of them come in here and try to sway us to their... And in the meantime, you're going to look at that person who's not drinking wine. He's the worst heretic that ever lived. He's an Americanist heretic. He loves money. He's covetous with money. He's vain. He's full of pseudo-intellectualism. Spiritual fornication. He's got a whole load of problems on his own side. But this just... One point goes to prove that wine is for pleasure. Sometimes medicinal, but not all the time. Most times it is for pleasure. Okay, and this is throughout the scriptures. So it refutes anybody who tries to tell you if you're doing something for pleasure, it's evil. Okay, because it's not true. Absolutely not true at all. It all depends if you're abusing something that God has given you. God wants you to enjoy the things he gave you and give glory to him through those things. And he wants you... And it, doesn't it also make the fasting when you give up those things the much better eating, because you're not saying, now, because I am going to give these things up during my Lenten period, or do this. But it's not that God doesn't want you to do it. So that was a good point Brother Aristotle brought up that he wanted to add to this. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us